from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We have Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, as always, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And Daryl, we're going to get into the Browns, their plan of attack for tomorrow night. I know you've been paying very, very close attention. I know you've got a lot of opinions, but what has happened to the once proud Cleveland Guardians? Lead down to two. Jason says they are still World Series contenders. What have you seen?
I agree with Jason, but they got to start hitting the baseball again and getting back to playing the way that they have for much of this season. I mean, the engine that really makes this team run, besides obviously Emmanuel Clase and that bullpen, is Stephen Kwan at the top of the lineup, Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor, and the out of this world, out of nowhere contributions that they were getting from guys like David Fry in the first half of the season, they're not nearly as consistent in getting that right now. And so, this offense, for whatever reason, has not been great for, I would argue, the last month or so. And, they started slumping a little bit before that All-Star break. And it's been peaks and valleys ever since. And right now they seem to be back in another one of those valleys. But if they can get this offense back on track, I think the rotation is what it is because of injury. There's not a whole lot you can do there right now. The time to do something about it was at the trade deadline, and they basically stood pat with their moves. I mean, I know they made those two very minor moves, but those were not, hey, we're going for it this year moves, which was unfortunate. They got to get this offense on track. No question about it.
Daryl, like Browns fans cling to Deshaun's second half against Baltimore, like Cavs fans cling to Evan Mobley against Boston. The Guardians bullpen is the air in my lungs. And as long as those guys are healthy and pitching the way that they have pitched all season long, that's why I think they've got a chance.
Yeah, I agree with you. My biggest concern with the team, besides the offense, obviously that's a bit of a problem there. My biggest concern with this team is the rotation. I saw something this week that Major League Baseball. I realize I might have had some brain fog, but I couldn't believe that I read this online. They're thinking about a mandatory 6-inning. Minimum for starting pitchers now?
Yeah, but there's a lot of caveats with it. If a guy gives up 4 runs or if he gets 100 pitches. I don't think it'll ever pass. I saw it.
I hope not, because that is the most insane thing I've ever read.
Well, it's interesting because, they're trying to make the starting pitcher more prominent again, but it would actually hurt, small
get
market.
Get better pitchers. That's how you do it.
Well, the game has changed so much, and batters run up pitch counts, and bullpens have become so good.
You know what that's called? Baseball.
Yeah, if you get to the fifth now with your starter, that's considered a success. It's kind of wild. I told Lama earlier, you're going to see playoff games that the Guardians have the lead in the fourth inning. They're going to go to the bullpen.
Well, look at what they did in 2016 when they got to the World Series, right? I mean, the way Tito Francona managed that pitching staff was nothing short of brilliant. And it actually, I think, kind of started a trend. And it just was unfortunate by the time they got through, you know, to game five of the World Series, they basically ran out of gas.
And Andrew Miller was never the same again.
Right. After, you know, exactly. That. So if they go on another one of those runs this year, let's hope it's not the end of Emmanuel Clase's career.
Right.
I mean, he's been fantastic. The bullpen's been just incredible this year. It is, at least from my view. This organization has had some good bullpens over the years, but this is an all-timer. This what they are doing this year is an all-timer. And fingers crossed that this starting rotation can do just enough to not burn those guys to a crisp here down the stretch.
I just don't think this is a big issue. It seems like Major League Baseball, I'm back to the six inning thing. Major League Baseball, some are saying that the whole point of this is to generate pitching stars to make it seem like when we were younger. And obviously the Tommy John surgery and all that's been written about, you know, pitch right. counts and all that stuff obviously worked to be a detriment, but I just don't see it as a problem. To me, the game is as entertaining as it's been in a long time. It works at a better pace than it's worked for a very long time. The fact that games routinely are going like 2 hours and 20 minutes,
yeah,
I think that's great for baseball. This, I don't think, needs fixing.
No, I give Manfred a lot of credit because, like, and I'm not a Manfred fan, but he's been bold in some of these changes that they've made, and I think it's saved the sport with the pitch clock and some of this other stuff.
Well, at least with the younger generation, to attract them and want them to come to ballparks and watch this thing,
yeah.
Because I'm as guilty. I'm in my mid-40s, and I admit I'm guilty. I have no attention span now. Ever since we got these smartphones, nobody really has an attention span. You know, even Hollywood's like, oh, we got to get back to making 90-minute movies now because people don't want to sit through a two and a half hour, three hour show. And
on a side note, Daryl, I'm sorry to cut you off. I watched a Lacey Peterson documentary over the last few days. Three episodes. First of all, I knew the conclusion. Why did I make myself watch this to begin with? We can hardly find anything to agree to watch to begin with. And yet I pick, oh, Lacey Peterson. Let's dig up this one again. Not her body, unfortunately. That's a very, very bad turn of phrase.
What are you, Deadpool, digging up Wolverine?
But unfortunately, I feel like I wasted my time because I already knew what happened. I knew he was in jail. Sorry to spoil it, but it's also on the cover of every magazine.
She's
again.
Dead?
She's dead, believe it
Wait,
or not.
The boat sinks at the end of Titanic? No.
And I can't get over the fact that they needed three episodes to tell me something that was still kind of fresh in my mind, and I wasted my time watching. It's my fault. I just don't understand. Let's get to it. 90 minutes.
Listen,
you're right. Everything should be 90
minutes. Counseling for me.
I know.
I might be the wrong choice there.
All right. Daryl Ryder with us right now.
Check out the new Batman animated series on Amazon. There you go.
I got to go to animated now?
Yeah.
Daryl Ryder with us right now.
You have a couple of kids. I don't think this is suitable for children. It may be a little too violent for the youngins.
I'd watch a bunch of programming suitable for the kids. I don't know if Batman is gonna is gonna work out.
A few more years.
Daryl, help us out right now. Is your quarterback gonna be starting tomorrow night?
My quarterback. I don't have a quarterback.
Is Deshaun Watson gonna be starting?
Oh,
tomorrow?
That guy. Oh, okay. Yeah, he's definitely not my quarterback.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't own the team. I don't coach the team. I don't pick the players on the team. I have no possession ownership of Deshaun Watson or the Browns. I think that Kevin Stefanski has really given himself the out, and in some ways I think Deshaun unintentionally has kind of given him the out. This started last week when Stefanski was asked before practice if, you know, hey, Deshaun's still going to play against the Seahawks, and Stefanski said something to the effect of, right, you know, that's the plan, which means, you know, plans can change, obviously. And the fact that they, you know, shut him down for arm soreness this week, There's two tentacles to that. One, that preserves Stefanski from having to say, my left tackle situation is a disaster, and there's no way I'm putting the $46 million investment out there. Obviously, he can't come out and say that. And they can just say, well, his arm was sore. We're not going to put him, you know, we got to keep him on whatever program he's on, and that's just going to be it. The other can of worms, though, that opened was, okay, is the arm all right? Is he going to be okay? Because he had significant time off before this popped up. And then, of course, yesterday they come out and they let us know, hey, by the way, during the closed practice that we held before we all hopped on a plane for Seattle, Deshaun took all his reps with the first team, and everything's fine now. So they've got the out not to play him. I think he needs reps, and this is the biggest problem for the Browns. He desperately needs on-field, in-game reps, and I don't know if they're going to be able to give them to him.
It doesn't sound like it. I don't think he's going to play. I agree with you. I think he should at least two or three series. Just because of how long it's been, the injuries coming off, the fact we have no history.
Jason,
really,
when I watched that joint practice and the how he was reacting to the pressure, I mean, he was basically under siege against the Vikings, and he wasn't even being touched, right? I mean, he's protected; he's not being hit and touched and whatever. That alarmed me. For two reasons. One, the offensive line, which used to be a staple of, you know, this franchise, right? Just that didn't look as good as I'm used to seeing. And then two, the clock, right? Now all of a sudden, yeah, I am a little concerned about Deshaun's shoulder because of this general soreness has returned to Cleveland. Number one, and then number two, just the effects of now just all this, you know, traffic coming in his face, and how does he react to pressure, to, you know, the offense. And because I'm just being honest with you, I'm not at all impressed with what I've seen in camp with this offense at all. But yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but my gut tells me, as you alluded to, Jason, they're going to decide the juice isn't worth the squeeze, and we're going to see Jameis Winston Saturday night.
I mean, Daryl, at this point, do we have any indication of what this brand new, revamped Ken Dorsey offense even looks like?
Yeah, they're going to throw it a ton. A lot of short passes with the occasional stretch in the field. These choice routes, I guess we'll see how they work. I think that it is, you are laying the groundwork for a ton of interceptions because of miscommunication, but that's just me. The players love the choice routes. Deshaun said he loves the choice routes. The receivers love them, so hopefully they work. But they're not going to lean on the run game. And again, that's kind of like part of the issue, right? Okay, so Deshaun is going to need some time to get the body clock right early in the season and things like that. Well, when Nick Chubb was healthy, and in previous years, you leaned on the offensive line and you leaned on Nick Chubb to carry things. And I think Jerome Ford's a nice player. Dante Foreman is an intriguing player. I can't judge the run game for you right now. They don't tackle. They're not hitting. So I don't know. What I do know is that when I would watch, and this is a very, I said this was the midday show yesterday, this is a very unfair bar to set, but it's just what I gauge it off of. When I would watch running drills last year, because training camp hasn't changed under Kevin Stefanski, he runs it the same way. But when I would watch running drills with Nick Chubb, right, and their team, there were plenty of times where I'm just like, whoa, watching the way those runs are executed. And then what I've seen to this point in camp, I've not had a singular whoa moment watching the run game. Now, that's not to say that once the season starts, we're not going to get that. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I'm not convinced that they're even going to be able to lean on the run game while Deshaun is getting his, getting his feet wet again.
Daryl.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I appreciate it as always.
You bet, guys. Have a great weekend.
There he is, Gerald Ryder. Browns beat reporter brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Oh! Laser eyes, Andrew Berry does it again, baby!
What?
4D chess, you ready?
What?
Your Cleveland Browns are trading Cade York to the Commanders for a conditional 7th rounder.
Jason Lloyd has no idea.
It doesn't take much to get him excited.
What about your backup kicker being traded for a conditional 7th round pick?
You talk about an overreaction.
Here is a peek behind the curtain. So I was staring at Ken when his face lit up. The video's been tweeted out. You could see it on 92.3 The Fan Twitter app or X app. So it's on all the social medias. Ken starts to lose his mind. I'm staring at him, and I'm like, nothing's popping up on my on my X feed. Like, what the hell's going on? I look at my phone. I'm not seeing anything. Apparently, Mitch did text it over. So when he said that at the very start, oh, and can you play the very start, like, and then pause it right after he gets going here.
Oh!
When I saw, when I heard that,
Brandon Ayuk.
And I saw, I thought Brandon Ayuk or I thought CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
So then I played it off as if I knew that something big had happened. And I was waiting to hear who was involved in a trade because I'm like, is it Amari Cooper? Is it Wyatt Teller? Remember the names that had been, even Greg Newsome, all these different names that had been dangled. And then he says, Cade York.
What? 4D chess, you ready?
What?
Your Cleveland Browns are trading Cade York to the Commanders for a conditional 7th rounder.
And that's genuine excitement from him.
I swear to God.
Genuine excitement.
People wonder, does Ken Carmen ham it up? Does he really, really get that excited? Brother, as Ken would say, you could see the video. It's all out there on the video. He was that thrilled.
Yeah, there are bits when, you know, play it up and make it. That sounded genuine to me. That is a genuine Ken. Look what Andrew Berry just did. Yeah. Traded a conditional, got a conditional 7th round pick.
To this point, the laser eyes.
Why was he so excited over that?
Did you ever
get to the bottom of it?
I
think the question is, why aren't you excited,
you?
Jason?
I think he was, did you get that excited about your 16th anniversary?
I left a card on the counter.
You did leave it. That's a pro's move. You got up early. That could have been an easy forget.
That could have been a stop on the way home from the show, pick up a card. Nope. She knows it was on the counter.
You were actually ahead of the schedule. Yeah,
I was ahead of the schedule. 5:15 in the morning, card on the counter.
He was that excited. I think it had to do with the way that this team, just for so many GMs, could not pull off anything that anybody thought was smart. Now, anything that Andrew Berry does, there is a faction out there that does truly believe it's brilliant. And it's not like, oh, is he the smartest guy in the room type of thing. I always get annoyed. Like, yeah, I want my GM to be the smartest guy in the room. I guess they're not allowed to think they're the smartest guy in the room. I never understood that criticism of coaches or, yeah, I'd like to have the smartest guys in the room. That would be nice. And I'd like them to think it and know it and have it be provable. I do think Andrew Berry has been a really good GM. Now he's been here long enough where, you know, any moves they make, you're going to be getting rid of other moves that had happened in the past. So there's going to be, you know, some good and some bad. He's been here long enough where we can say certain things about draft picks. I don't think he's drafted great, but I think now, especially that JOK pick was huge.
Yeah.
DeJuan Jones has a chance to be really good. But outside of that, in that draft class, you're a little worried right now. So what do you think? Are we silly to keep doing the laser eyes thing with Andrew Berry? It's become a show bit, obviously, and it's become a bit with Browns fans. But do you believe you have a GM that gives the Browns a dramatic advantage?
I think he's very good at his job. And I believe that they navigated not having a first-round pick all of those years better than I thought that it might turn out. Like, to go that long without a first-round pick is hard in the NFL. And if there was some list I saw a couple months ago, like the 25 players under 25 in the NFL, and the Browns didn't have anyone on it. Well, like 21 or 22 of those 25 were all first-round picks. So maybe we won't really feel the pain for another couple of years yet, but it right now, as we sit here today, it feels like they survived not having a first-round pick all those years because of DeJuan Jones and because of JOK and because no one's going to hit 100%. They're all going to have misses. And, yeah, they've struggled to find a receiver in the middle rounds, and we'll see if Cedric Tillman turns around this year. We'll see if Jamari Thrash turns in anything.
Or if the Judy pick ends up basically making that a moot point.
Right, right.
Does your opinion of surviving change if Deshaun doesn't turn out to be what we think he can be, if he doesn't live up to the potential?
I mean, we're already 2/5 into that, almost
right,
about to be 3/5 into that. The fact that he hasn't lived up to it and they've still survived is even more a testament to this coaching staff
office. I think there is some maybe background that's missing here. Who do you think is responsible for Deshaun Watson? Why is he a Cleveland Brown?
I've talked to a lot of people about that, and outside the organization, people that know AB, and I do think Andrew wanted to pursue him. I do believe that was Andrew's call. It took me a while to come around on that, but I do believe that Jimmy wanted to upgrade the position. Jimmy wanted to do better than Baker, but I do believe that AB was one of the first ones in on Deshaun. Now, did AB want to take it all the way to the lengths that they did with the guaranteed contract and everything else? I'm not entirely convinced of that component of it. But I do believe that very early on, AB was on board with going to pursue Deshaun.
I find it interesting that we get to a point where I'm asking a question like that, that only is a question because of how people perceive the Johnny Manziel thing going down. Who do they attribute Johnny Manziel to?
The homeless man.
The homeless man and the owner.
Right.
Right? So
the owner taking the advice of a person from the street.
Listen, yeah. The owner's always going to be heavily involved.
He's
got to
sign off on a big one.
It's always going to be heavily involved when it's the quarterback position. The owner's always going to be.
Any of the big positions in the NFL, yes, he's going to sign off on, right?
Yes. Well, so here's why.
He probably doesn't care about the backup linebacker.
But the Berry thing is important because of this. We judge these GMs on playoff success, you know, their ability to first get to the playoffs, then have success. The next thing we do is judge them on if they go and get a quarterback, we judge them on that. And if Deshaun Watson ends up just a shell of what he used to be, and he is the thing that holds this loaded roster. And by the way, some of the players on this loaded roster still holdovers from John Dorsey, yeah, some really good ones.
Yeah.
So, with all of that said, if Watson's not good, what are we supposed to say about Andrew Berry?
It depends on how they recover from it, because nobody kills John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan for absolutely blowing and destroying the Trey Lance thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because they had a quarterback fall in their lap.
They bounced back in a hurry.
Yeah.
So he'll get the opportunity. So what you're telling me is after the next 3 years, if you still have this year and two more on the contract of guaranteed money for Deshaun Watson, you're telling me that they're going to get to the last year where that would be in flux the last year if he's playing like this, if he's up and down or whatever.
I think this is the year. Okay. This is the deciding year. If he flops this year for whatever reason.
Do you think Andrew Berry needs to bring in competition next year?
I think that you have to start coming up with an exit strategy.
Like Denver did with Russell Wilson.
If it doesn't work this year for whatever reason, whether it's injuries, performance, whatever, if it doesn't work this year, I think you have to start looking for an exit strategy. And my personal opinion, this is just my opinion, I think it was really interesting that they did not rework his contract again. Because if you go back and look at Atlanta reworked Matt Ryan's contract one too many times, and it killed him on the cap. Mm-hmm. And the Browns not reworking Deshaun and not kicking any more money down the road, I just thought was interesting.
I've had people tell me they think it matters. I've had other people tell me it doesn't matter at all, and that they could just restructure again after this year.
They could, but if he plays well, for sure. If he plays well this year and you believe that you're going to get what you thought you were going to get out of him for the final 2 years, then go ahead and restructure him. But the fact that they did not do it this year, I just thought was interesting.
Obviously, they've got a ton of guys that they have to pay, and it seems like every year they've got a new guy. They just did JOK.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, what happens if Wills has a great, great year? If Jed has a great year, you know, all of a sudden you're going to be paying him big money.
Yeah.
I know people are rolling their eyes about that right now, but if he has a great year, you'll be supporting it.
Sure.
And you're seeing other teams have to make moves to get under the cap, like the 49ers are worried about Ayuk at a certain number.
Right.
But yet the Browns haven't seemed to have that issue. Speaking of loaded rosters, here is Urban Meyer. We're right. We have college football starting tomorrow in Dublin, I think, is the first kickoff game. But you've got a bunch of games starting tomorrow, your new college football season. Listen to Urban Meyer get you pumped up, Buckeye fans, about how good your roster is.
I talked to Jim Tressel about this. I've read about them. I've watched them. This might be the best roster in college football in the last decade. As far as NFL talent, as far as depth, I mean, they are loaded. They got Will Howard is going to be a big question mark, but I think the combination of him and Chip Kelly, the new offense coordinator, they're married for each other. He's an athletic quarterback. He's surprisingly fast. I was told he ran 22 miles an hour at practice, which, you know, you're a sub 4.5. That's fast. And he's a big dude. I think he's the perfect fit.
I mean, you have Urban Meyer talking about how good this team is going to be. They're number two ranked. The only reason they're not ranked number one this year is because they've lost to Michigan, and people wonder about Ryan Day in those big games now, even though they were close.
Yeah.
But that is the only reason they're not number one. They're going to be 50-point favorites. We had another clip on the podcast yesterday from Urban Meyer. He's like, they're going to be 50-point favorites in their first three games, and then their first Big Ten game is against Michigan State. They will be a huge favorite in that game. They should be favored big time over Michigan if everything goes the way. It's essentially a one-game season.
Yeah.
And it's Oregon in that primetime game, which is going to be awesome. Outside of that, I mean, Buckeye fan, being a Buckeye football fan is going to be pretty boring this year.
Hopefully. You never know, but hopefully, yeah.
So if you're wondering just how loaded they are, this was Ryan Day made an announcement yesterday. So they have a new punter. I'm not sure how familiar you are with Australian punters. It's amazing the kind of system. Yeah. The system that they've cultivated a bunch of these guys from Australia. Well, they have given the job to Nick McClarty. Do you know anything about Nick McClarty from Melbourne, Australia?
Only what you told me an hour ago.
He is 6'7". 255 pounds.
Biggest punter I've ever seen in my life, even though I haven't seen him.
Of Australian sheet metal. This guy is a bulldozer. It looks like he should be a tight end, does he not? He's got these.
Absolutely. When I looked him up online, they had pictures. I don't know if he's playing rugby or Australian rules football. Can't discern from the picture, but he is definitely high pointing a ball that's got to be 10 feet in the air, and he's getting it with ease.
This is how loaded they are, that they can have punters that are 6'7". And you see him in a rugby uniform, or Australian rules, one of them.
Yeah.
He's playing in one of them, and he looks the part. I mean, the guy looks like a freak. He's not one of those oversized punters that college football blogs used to make fun of, like 10, 15 years ago until we realized maybe that's not a nice thing to do when that, what was it? Was it the Penn State punter?
Penn State, yes.
Yeah, he had to take to social media and talk about mental health and how he had an eating disorder because the punters get made fun of, especially the mustached punters.
Well, they have those shirts. Punters are people too. You have to put it out there to let everyone know.
Look up Joey Julius, punter, Penn State.
Joey Julius.
When you get a chance. I thought that Wisconsin had one too. I thought Wisconsin had a portly young fella, but then he went with a mustache and he looked like he was 50 years old after a while. Ohio State, they're getting specimen at every single position. Jason, I think it's setting up to be one of those seasons where it's almost like Team USA. Like if they played close games in the medal rounds, that was going to be an indictment on Steve Kerr. Like think of the pressure on Ryan Day this year.
He's got the most pressure he's ever had in his life on him this year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.